Were the stairs a trap? Relaying his suspicions to the others with sign language, Ryan studied the marble stairs for a minute, then slowly started to ascend. Almost instantly, a Sticky lunged out of the gloom with both hands raised for a chill. Spinning out of the way of the rush, Ryan smashed the mutie in the face with the barrel of his weapon. It staggered, but didn't fall. Moving fast, Baron O'Connor kicked it in the belly, then Doc whipped out his sword and lunged forward. The silvery length of the Spanish steel pierced the Sticky through the mouth, pinning its forked tongue into place. As the other Sekhmen stepped away from the lashing suckers, Ryan fired twice. The Sticky rocked from the impact of the hot lead, almost coming free from the sword. Then it shuddered all over and went still, dropping limply to the filthy floor and stirring up a small gray cloud. Distastefully, Doc retrieved his sword and wiped it clean on a nearby curtain bearing the monogram of some pre-dark company. While Christy and Mildred scanned overhead with her MP5 subguns, Ryan dropped the clip of the blaster to replace the two spent rounds.
Think there's more of them hiding?
Better safe than chilled.
The Baron used the long barrel of the Winchester to probe the alcove that the mutie had been hiding in. But there were no other Stickies present, only a rusted candy machine, the confections behind the ancient glass, as inedible as the dead Sticky.
No talking.
Ryan started up the stairs once more, the canvas bag of Molotov cocktails at his side. The next floor was the mezzanine, with all of the closed office doors facing the railing that looked down onto the lobby. Here the dust was disturbed, and the group proceeded with extreme caution. If more Stickies were hiding, there was no telling from which direction they could charge. A set of escalators waited motionless at the far end of the mezzanine, and the group split apart in unspoken consent. The companions took the left, the Baron and his Sekhmen going up the other. Here and there they noticed old bloodstains on the serrated metal steps, and Ryan kept a close watch on the drop ceiling. The feeble glow of the tallow candles barely reached outside the group, and it was as if they were traveling inside a bubble of light through a black ocean. At the top of the escalator, Ryan paused to try to hear if anything was moving in the building, but there was only the breathing of the others. No creaking water pipes, moaning wind, or scuttling mice. Not even the rumble of the coming storm outside could be discerned. The armed group of hunters moved onward. Eventually, the top floor became another reception area, the floor a decorative tile mosaic. Huge green plants filling wicker pots in the corner were obviously plastic, and there was a line of phone booths with what looked like vid screens. Those made Ryan tense. Yeah, he knew those from the anthill. Very high tech in its day, but just shit now. Not even worth scavenging. Then Ryan saw Christy go stiff.
Trouble?
Her hair flexing and waving nervously. Christy didn't reply at first. Just for a moment, the woman could have sworn that she heard a hoot. Noticing the agitation of the redhead, Mildred pumped the handle of her flashlight and moved the weak yellow beam along the payphones. The dulcet illumination was reflected off the vid monitors, magnifying the light into a golden wash that revealed a nightmare. Just down the hallway to their left were dozens of Stickies. The entire third floor seemed to be packed full of the sleeping muties, jammed together solid like brass in an ammo clip. The muties were lining the walls in resin-like cocoons, probably made from the hardened residue of their own gelatinous ooze. Baron O'Connor had used the term nest, but Ryan hadn't expected it to be accurate. This was a beehive, just like the mailbox near the manhole cover. It was a honeycomb full of sleeping Stickies. The Baron waved the Winchester at his Sekhmen to order them back down the escalator. If this wasn't all of the Stickies, it was enough. Time to burn the place down. But it was vital that his troops didn't see the nest. Somebody was sure to panic, and one loud noise would spell disaster. There wasn't enough live brass in the whole ville to stop this inhuman horde. Unfortunately, things didn't turn out the way he wanted. As the anxious Sekhmen followed their Baron, one of them grabbed his throat. Ryan fired from the hip. Then a Sticky fell forward, bleeding from the arm. Then another mutie appeared, carrying a heavy wooden club. The Sekhmen braced for a rush, but instead of attacking the norms, the Sticky began beating the cudgel against the marble wall, the booms echoing through the entire building. An alarm. JB mercilessly cut it down with a stuttering Uzi. Silence didn't matter anymore. The wreck was over.
Light him up!
The Baron fired the Winchester, then flipped the arming lever of the long blaster to shoot again and again. A dozen stickies died in their cocoons before even knowing there was anything wrong. But a score more of the creatures jerked awake and stared at the little band of humans as if unable to comprehend the sight. Then the stickies started to swarm, their deadly hands stretched out toward the invading norms. Everybody opened fire. Shuddering into death, stickies fell to the floor, only to be replaced by more. Leaping over pre-dark furniture, some of the creatures started to crawl along the walls, their sucker-covered hands reaching down from above.
Molotovs, block the stairs! Use the flames as cover!
Letting go of the Uzi to let it swing from its canvas strap, JV yanked out a Willy Pete grin and flipped the sphere into the nest. Only a heartbeat behind, a Sekman lit the rag on a Molotov and threw it against the ceiling. It crashed into a fireball. The contents dripped down onto the leather, and the saddlebag instantly caught, the rising wall of flame filling the landing. The shadows were banished, showing only more stickies, along with woven cages full of human bones. Shooting in short control bursts, Mildred was hit by the shocking realization that these stickies kept captives, prisoners of the muties, to be eaten at their convenience. A hellish larder, worse than the butcher shop of any canny tribe. Even though he was shocked to the core, Brian still managed to ace two muties before spinning around and dashing for the escalator. What kind of muties were these? The things had almost norm intelligence. As the conflagration began to die down, JV added another Willy Pete grin. The second flood of burning white phosphorus completely filled the landing, setting several stickies ablaze. The muties dashed madly about, waving their arms wildly until crashing into the walls or tumbling over the balcony and plummeting out of sight. A Sekman threw a Molotov.
Eat this, ass sucker!
Darting around the pool of white phosphorus, a sticky incredibly caught the thrown bottle in a suckered hand and made to heave it right back when Mildred triggered her rapid fire and blew the container apart. Covered in burning oil, the sticky backed away, waving its arms. Docs Lamont and Ruger performed a duet of death. The black powder blaster was throwing out clouds of smoke that soon mingled with the thickening clouds of reeking fumes from the burning dead. The Sec Force fired with deadly accuracy, but the closed office doors suddenly were thrown open, and more stickies joined the mob. The army of them seemed endless. Taking the awkward middle steps at a run, the companions and Secmen retreated fast, firing every step of the way. They had to concentrate on not tripping down the escalator. The serrated steps were larger than regular stairs, and one wrong move would send a man tumbling, which would start a cascade of bodies falling down the motorized stairs, easy prey for the slavering muties. JV grimaced hatefully, pulling another grin. About to yank the pin, he scowled at the charge and tucked it away to rummage for another. An implode grin would remove half the building, facing the norms along with the stickies. Jumping off the escalator, Ryan turned and fired at the mob of armed stickies, boiling down the stairs like some jump nightmare. The first one toppled over in death, the second was only wounded, and it started hooting insanely. Working together, Christy and Mildred raked the creatures with their rapid fires, while Doc's hand cannons unleashed volleys of death. Pulling a Molotov cocktail from the bag at his side, Ryan held the oily rag in front of the sound-suppressed gun muzzle and stroked the trigger. The muzzle flame ignited the rag, and he heaved it onto the metal steps. The firebomb hit and shattered, forming a crackling pool. A few of the Sekmen added their own bottles to the conflagration until it was a roaring bonfire, the bright orange flames licking upward. Some of the stickies charged through the flames, setting their ragged clothing ablaze. Others leapt for the walls and started shimmying along the decorative marble slabs in an effort to get past the fiery obstruction. Even as he killed them, Ryan again noted that the muties didn't seem fascinated by fire anymore. That had been their greatest weakness, and now it was gone. Suddenly, a wooden spear came through the flames and chilled a Sekman. A scatter gun boomed in response, followed by another. Molotovs went flying, and the MP5 rapid fires chattered away, spent brass arching through the air to fall to the cold stone floor. More spears were thrown, along with wooden cudgels. A Sekman's wrist was smashed, and his blaster was knocked to the floor, a discharge into his own leg.
Acing a mutie on one of the walls, Ryan felt his blood run cold at the terrible look of cold intelligence in their furious eyes. Some of them are smarter than others, the one-eyed warrior realized, even as he ruthlessly gunned them down. But the fighting was pandemic now, all pretense of order gone, and none of the norms were sure that they would ever escape alive. Unstoppable, the waves of stickies kept coming. A rain of clubs took out another Sekhman, and JB threw an anti-personnel gun at the muties. The staggering blast rocked the building, and pieces of bodies went flying everywhere. But another flight of spears pelted the group, and more norms were killed. Red blood and gelatinous ooze seemed to be everywhere. Fighting their way to the stairs, the companions and remaining Sekhman ducked again as thrown clubs came spinning out of the dwindling pool of fire, closely followed by spears. Ryan dropped a cliff and slammed in his last spare.
Keep it up! They can't see us any more than we can see them! Use all of the bombs!
The Baron dropped the spent Winchester and pulled out his hand cannon. The old caliber pumped jacketed bone shredders into the stickies, and every round killed with gory efficiency. Sekhman obediently threw more bottles into the blaze, the crashing of the glass causing a gush of heat and noise. The smell of the roasting stickies was worse than cooking sewage. Suddenly, Sek Chief Sterling appeared with a dozen more Sekhmen, brandishing weapons and bottles. At the sight of reinforcements, everybody cheered and redoubled their efforts, the barrage of homie scatter guns, black powder blasters, and yammering rapid fires reaching a deafening crescendo. Temporarily out of brass, Ryan holstered the Sig Sauer and did a fast sidearm throw of a high-explosive Bren onto the escalator. Releasing his rapid fire to hang by its strap, Jack did the same, and Baron O'Connor unexpectedly added a short pipe bomb.
Move!
But the groups needed no encouragement. They were already pelting down the steps at a breakneck pace. The escalator broke apart, and machine and metal parts sprayed out in every direction. Hit in the head with a spinning gear, a sticky parish trying to stuff its own brain back inside its broken skull.
Oh!
Sterling fell to one knee, a dagger of blue stone jutting from his shoulder. The tough man rose and stumbled away, dribbling crimson in his wake. Reaching for the Stire, Ryan felt white-hot pain along a forearm and saw that he was pumping his lifeblood. Hugging the wound to his chest to try to staunch the blood loss, Ryan fumbled for the Stire. Only 5 rounds were left in the long blaster. He had to make every one count. Just then, the foam tiles lining the ceiling collapsed, and a half-dozen stickies fell upon the group of Sekhmen. Caught completely by surprise, the startled men began to fire among themselves, hot lead smacking into other Sekhmen in their blind haste to kill the hooting muties. Ryan got his long blaster up in time to ace a sticky in the throat. Then another monster made a swipe at him, and Christy hammered it to hell with her barking rapid fire. Doc shot one in the face with both hand cannons and blew off its head. A sticky grabbed Porter by the sleeve and yanked, but only took away the shirt. Unharmed, the man emptied his blaster into the mutie. Swinging his hand cannon, Baron O'Connor pumped 2 rounds into the thing, and it went sailing backward over the railing to crash onto the reception desk in the lobby on the ground floor.
Everybody outside!
Ryan headed for the open doorway. He could see the 2 Sekhmen there, shooting into the chaotic lobby, their black powder blasters sending out plumes of acrid smoke that temporarily masked the exit. Incredibly, more muties appeared at the top of the stairs. Their rags were smoldering, and many oozed bodily fluids, but their eyes were fierce. Desperate to buy seconds for the others to get out, Ryan and JB both flipped grins across the lobby. In response, the stickies hit the walls and crawled past the hell zone the same as before. Now they dropped to the floor and amazingly retrieved their thrown spears, then rushed at the norms in a picket charge. A wounded Sekhman was slow to reload, and as he closed the wheel gun, a spear took him through the chest. Somebody else grabbed his fallen blaster and emptied it into the stickies before turning to run away. Pouring outside, the companions and the few remaining Sekhmen scrambled down the stairs and across the foyer to explode out the front door. As they dashed across the sandy street, the metro went into action. The catapult thumped, and a dozen Molotovs rained upon the granite steps, erupting into a huge fireball. Trapped in the foyer, the stickies reacted angrily and threw some spears at the war wag.
Those only bounced off the armed sides, and the Sekhmen behind the sandbag wall returned fire with crossbows. A dozen muties fell, their mottled bodies feathered with arrows. The Bill Sekhmen took heart at the display. The muties might have weapons, but they couldn't aim worth shit. Time to press the attack.
Cover the rear! Make a ring of fire! Use every Molotov!
A spear flashed by his head just then, but Baron O'Connor didn't even flinch.
Every Molotov saved nothing!
Hoisting bags, a team of Sekhmen rushed to obey. High overhead, the dark clouds roiled in mounting fury, and a strong breeze blew along the street, kicking up a stinging cloud of loose sand.